what are some of the things that really annoy you? Now, I can give you a great example. I can think of Father Michael sitting here thinking about how annoyed he is that he forgot to about the baptism this morning and being preoccupied with other things. But what are some of the other things that really annoy you?
Tailgates,
okay. There's a good one. What else?
Cell phones in church.
Cell phones in church. Leaving your house without the cell phone. Mm-hmm. Or one that particularly annoys me is when I've gone to the market and I get up to the checkout thingy and I realize I don't have my wallet on me. I've got a basket full of groceries.
Or your bags.
Or your bags, yeah. I mean, there's just all sorts of things that kind of just annoy us. But we tend to get over them because it's not the end of the world. There are other things, however, that happen that stir up in us a lot of feeling and very strong reactions. For instance, Friday in Santa Monica, the innocent people that lost lives greatly affects us. As a nation, September 11th, when little innocent children, like in Newton, Connecticut, lose their lives. There are things that happen that emote from us great compassion, great feelings. And sometimes during those moments, we wonder, where is God in all of this? In today's gospel, it isn't just the story of a mother who lost her son. To put it into historical context, when you are a widow, it is your oldest son that is charged with taking care of you. And this widow had not only lost her son, but here she is now with nothing. And in that moment, I'm sure there was so much going on with her emotionally that she hadn't even had time to process through all of the stuff that was going on. Then along comes Jesus, moved to great compassion, and gives her back her son. Now, when I was doing some reading, I had never really thought about this before, but every time Jesus goes to raise somebody from the dead, he either touches them or he calls them out specifically by name. And I suppose one could make a case for he would have to do that because if he just said rise, could you imagine the chaos in all of the Holy Land and around the whole world? And, you know, it's not quite the second coming with everybody sort of rising up. But on that same thought, it is specific because God has great compassion for each one of us. So we may ask, where is God in these moments? But God is there. Because today's gospel story isn't about gratitude. It isn't about faith. It is simply about compassion and the miracles that can happen in our lives as a result of compassion. I'm reminded of what I like to refer to as mommy magic. Now, some of you have heard me talk about mommy magic before, but you know, I got to learn something a little different and have a little different slant on this. But you know, my notion of mommy magic is, for instance, when something's not going right in my life, what would I do? I would pick up the phone and I would call my mother. And I would and cry about this is happening, that is happening, and you know. And mother would proceed to tell me for the next 20 minutes about what I had done wrong. Had I listened to her, this wouldn't have happened this way. Or, you know, or if it was a relationship that was ended, it would be, you know, well, what did you do this time, Edward? You know, it's just, but the point is that you reach out because you know that there's going to be compassion with mommy. And little Lucas is learning. He's going to learn that right now. He's starting to learn that lesson. There's just something there. Now, I don't want all the guys to think that compassion is something left only to women, okay? When we talk about being moved so deeply as Jesus was for this widow, almost coming from the womb, it's that deep, deep stirring within. And you know, when I was growing up, it was one thing, but today, when you get pregnant, it's not the woman who's pregnant. We always say what? We're pregnant. Because it's something together that we create. And when Jesus emotes all of that emotion and that compassion, what he does is sees this woman as a sibling, as a brother or a sister, as any parent would know when they look at their children. They see their children. And that's what Jesus does. Each time we're in need of comfort. But we keep asking ourselves, well, where is he? Where is he? That's because, quite simply, we don't know how to let go and let God. We put expectations on God as to, you should respond this particular way on Thursday at 11 o'clock in the morning. I need this check in the mail. So, you know, God, do your thing. You know? Or we have just, you know, our own expectations of how God should be reacting in our lives, what you should do and what you shouldn't do. And it's just, we get in our own way. But God's always there. But sometimes God needs a little bit of help. And that's where we come in. Because God expects each of us to show that compassion to each other that he showed to the widow in today's gospel story. It's that simple. We have to look into the faces of everyone as if they were our brother and sister and see everybody as a sibling, whether we like them or we don't like them. There's a famous story about a Rebbe who was teaching in the synagogue, and he put this question out to his students. He said, so, when and how do you recognize that moment when night turns to morning? And they thought about it, and one of the students raised his hand and says, oh, I know. When at a great distance, I can recognize the difference between a dog and a sheep. And the Rebbe shook his head and said, no. Then another student raised his hand and says, oh, I know. When at great distance, I can tell the difference between a date palm and a fig tree. And the rabbi said, no. No. When you are able to look into the face of a stranger and see your sibling, at that moment, night becomes morning. And until you're able to do that, you will remain in the dark. Amen.